Good morning, everybody. Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. It's Sunday morning, I think it's almost the last day of June, or last day of spring, so we're getting there. I'm a little bit away from my normal recording environment, so I am uploading this via my iPhone. We're talking about Isaac this morning, Genesis chapter 22. We've covered Abraham quite a bit in the last several weeks. And now we're moving on to a very important, everything's almost the most important, so I can't really say it's the most important thing, but here's a situation where a man is going to sacrifice his son out of obedience to God. And for those of you who know this story, this is a direct reflection of God's willingness to sacrifice his own son, Jesus Christ, to be the atonement for sin for mankind. And I've often said that the angels are the witnesses of history. The angels are the witnesses of mankind. And there is a great question, or was a great question, amongst the heavenly host, amongst the angels. Is why man? Why man? Why this feeble creature that was created, literally created out of the dust of the earth? Why did you choose man to be the image of God? And one of the great stories of that is in Job. Job chapter 1 talks about how there was a day came when all the angels, all the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was there amongst them. Satan wasn't there by mistake. He didn't crash the party. He was summoned and he had to be there. He was an angel of God. And this was a great, contest isn't the right word, but it was a teaching moment between the Almighty and the angels. And the Lord looked at Satan and said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, I saw him. So what? Of course he serves you. You bless him. Everything he touches, you turn to gold. You curse him and he'll curse you to your face. And God said, okay, go for it. Try it. And all the angels are watching. All the angels are watching because the angels, I imagine there's a question in some of their minds like, why man? Why man? Why man? Why this creature out of the dust? We're like gods. Why aren't we the image of God? The Bible calls them sons of God. Clearly, they're great creatures. What makes man so special? And Satan went and he persecuted Job. And Job went through his trials. His wife said, curse God and die. And Job said, no. Naked, I came into this womb. Naked, I shall return. I'm going to fear God. How does that relate to Isaac and Abraham? It relates in every way. We're not like the angels. We don't see the face of God every day. We hear him. God speaks to us. But sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's a vision. Sometimes it's a sense. And we don't have eternal life yet. We will. But we're mortal creatures made of dust. And Abraham's gone through all this stuff a lot. He's gone through wars. He's gone through migrations. He's had to figure out how to keep his wife. He's gone through strife with Lot, strife with the Abimelech's men. He had a son with Hagar. God said, that ain't it. Hagar ain't it. And he's going, God, I'm an old man. Please, please, God. God said, no, that ain't it. Your son will come from Sarah. She will come from Sarah. And Sarah's like, right. Yeah, sure, I'm an old gal. Sure enough, Sarah has a kid. I mean, these are some, Abraham may have been rich. He may have been powerful, but he went through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Will he serve God? Will he be faithful? God said, at one point, God told him, he said, look, your children will be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand at the seashore. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. As righteousness. Because he believed God. By faith, he believed God. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. It's hard a lot of times. And then you have rich men who don't need God. Or they don't perceive a need for God. They're like, I don't need God. I got billions of dollars. The Revelation talks about the rich men, the merchants of the earth. I think we can see the merchants of the earth today with these literally billionaires. They've got more money they can spend in 10 lifetimes. And I don't need God. What do I need God for? They're working on their own eternal life right now, working with medical companies to get their eternal life. So anyway, Abraham finally has a son by Sarah. He said, okay, now we got this. This is it. Because he sent Ishmael away. Ishmael's gone. Sent Ishmael away because he was mocking the son of the promise. So he was sent away. So here we are in Genesis chapter 22. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. How do you like that? Abraham's gone through all this stuff, and yet he's still tested. You know, I think about that in my own life, and it's like, God, it's enough. When's it enough? Well, maybe it's never enough. I don't know. So Abraham's gone through all this stuff, and now God decides to show up yet again and test him. People say, well, who's God to test me? Well, he's the Almighty. He's the maker. He's the maker. He's the potter and we're the clay. One of the great things that man must sort out between himself and his maker is that he has a maker. Men don't like that. They hate that. Satan hates that. That's why Satan created an alternative existence myth called evolution that ostensibly gets rid of the need for a creator. Well, we're self-existing. That's what Satan offered man. That was a lie that Satan offered to man. You don't need the Almighty. We invented God. God didn't invent us. Those are arrogant, boastful words. You read in Daniel chapter 7 about the fourth beast, and he speaks arrogant and boastful words. You read the same thing about in Revelation 13 and on about the beast and the prophet. They speak arrogant and boastful words against the Most High. What's more arrogant to say that God doesn't even exist, that we created God? I'm telling you, we're already there. We're already there with that fourth beast of Daniel 7. We already got that beast out of the Revelation. The Antichrist is already there. It's already there. Spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Everybody's looking for it. When's it coming? Been here. And we don't struggle against it because we think it's still coming. Well, it's not time yet. No, it is time. It is time. This beast speaks arrogant, boastful words against the Most High. We invented you, God. You didn't invent us. We're going to live forever. We're going to self-direct our own evolution. These are the arrogant and boastful words of the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7. Same beast as you see in Revelation. Arrogant, boastful words against the Most High God. Everybody wants to find the dude that they can rearrange the words of it. And the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Maybe that's all you're getting, folks. I talked about that a few podcasts ago. I'm not saying there can't be a physical Antichrist, but I'm saying why are you looking for that when you got the spirit of the Antichrist right there? You want to have a battle. You want to have a fight. Now's the time. Genesis chapter 22. Abraham said, God tested Abraham. The Almighty said, I'm going to test Abraham. And he said to Abraham said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Wow. God only recognized one son for Abraham. Take now your son, your only son, your son whom you love, Isaac. As far as the purposes and calling of God, God does not recognize Ishmael. He said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Abraham. In other words, I don't recognize Ishmael as your son for the purposes and calling of God. And go into the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering for him on one of the mountains which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. He chopped wood, took his son, had the fire, and he had the knife to cut open his son. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Abraham was a prophet. God says, God will provide himself an offering, my son. God will provide himself an offering. God will provide himself an offering. And this is what Jesus Christ is. God provided the own offering. God provided the offering. He took his own son, Jesus Christ, is the offering, is the atonement for sin. God himself provided the offering. And when you look at the angels, and tying it back to Job, angels want to know what's so special about mankind. Here's Abraham, willing to give his own son in obedience to God. Willing to give his son, his only begotten son, the only son that counted, the only son that mattered, out of obedience to God. And angels are going, wow. They're starting to get an idea how special mankind is. Angels don't have that opportunity. Angels can't do that. They don't live by faith like you and I do. They're eternally beautiful. They live forever. They have wisdom and beauty beyond compare. They see the face of God continually. And you and I, creatures of dust, wonderful life as it is, but it's a challenge. Tested continually, offering sacrifices that we know not of. Abraham has to take the one son, his only son, whom he loved, put a knife in his heart. Verse 9, then they came up to the place which God had told him. Abraham built the altar, and there arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said to him, "Here I am. Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. The ram is Jesus Christ, symbolizes Jesus Christ. But before Jesus Christ came, Abraham was willing even to give up his own son as a sacrifice to the Almighty God. God said, okay, here's why man is worthy. Here's why this man is worthy. Not every man is worthy, but here's why this man is worthy. Here's why mankind in general is worthy. Obedience even unto death. Not only the death of himself, but obedience even to the death of his own son. And the angels of God all stand back and say, whoa. Something different about this Abraham guy. Something different about mankind. We have that. We can do that. Angels can't because they see it all. We can live by faith. Angels can't. It's a gift to be able to live by faith. See, it's hard to live by faith. That's true. But it's an opportunity to live by faith. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many of those who find it. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few are those who go this way. It's an opportunity. It's just an opportunity. This life is just an opportunity. It's not a guarantee. No guarantee. But like Abraham, you're going to be tested or tested in this life. We're tested in this life. Say, I don't want to be tested. That's why he's the maker and we're not. He's the creator and we're the creation. But at the end of the day, God says, I'll provide the sacrifice. And he provides his own son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, whom he loves and in whom he is well pleased. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. He died on the cross. Don't say it didn't hurt anybody. It hurt the Father. It hurt the Son. Hurt Abraham. Hurt Isaac. Imagine you're Isaac. Imagine what kind of psychological stuff are going on in your mind from that point on in your life. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Or you just finally come around and say, God, I realize that this is, you know, you had a purpose, you had a plan, you had a reason for this. And Isaac learned some obedience through suffering. Jesus Christ learned obedience through suffering. This is what it comes down to right here. The story of Abraham and Isaac is the story of God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, God himself provided the offering of sin. God himself provided the atonement for sin. A great sacrifice. Heart-wrenching. Testing. That's the beauty of what this life offers. But it doesn't mean it's easy. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Abraham, because you've not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to the young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived there in Beersheba. Here's another fact of faith. Your life extends beyond yourself. Abraham didn't see this. He didn't see his sons being as many as the stars of heaven. He didn't see his descendants being a blessing to all the nations. But without what Abraham did, it never would have happened. What are you and I living for? What is our destiny? What is our destiny in the generations 1,000 years past when we were born? Abraham had that destiny. What's our destiny through our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren? Things which we'll never see, but which depend upon what you and I do in this life now. What we do in this life matters not only in eternity, but through our biological descendants. Sacrifice now. Live by faith now. Our children will be blessed. Hopefully be a blessing to the other nations. Abraham built a magnificent house. Those of us in Jesus Christ are the children of Abraham. Those of us in Jesus Christ are the children of Abraham. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ are not the children of Abraham. They can say what they want. Ishmael was no longer the child of Abraham. Take now thy son, thy only son. Not the son of the flesh that matters, it's the son of the promise. Isaac was the son of the promise. The son of the promise is Jesus Christ. Those of us in Jesus Christ are the son of the promise. Not anybody else. God promised a lot to Abraham. All the way back from the beginning, he promised a land. He promised land to him. He said, I'm going to give you this land. Here we are. He says, now you're going to be a blessing to the entire world. You're going to be a blessing to the entire world. I don't know. I as for me, I sometimes I think, okay, God, I've had enough testing. I'm good. Good right here. We'll just stop right here. No more. I imagine Abraham had a sense of that too. God didn't ask Abraham's permission to test him. He didn't say, "Hey, Abraham, can I give you another test?" No. He says, "I'm going to test Abraham." And yeah, Abraham could have said, "No, forget this. I ain't going to do it." And that would have been, that would have been it. God would have worked out his purpose in some other way. In some other way. I don't know how. But there's always, if you look at the scriptures, I want to say there's always two, but there's frequently two. There's frequently two. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. All right? Esau turned aside, went his own way. The birthright was his. The birthright was Esau's. He was the firstborn. The promise went to him. He sold it. Went to Jacob. There's two thieves on the cross. There's two. One mocked Jesus. The other said, "Hey, man, we're guilty. This guy didn't do anything wrong." He said, "Lord, please remember me today when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "You'll be with me there today in paradise." The other guy didn't go. The other guy went to the bad place. How about the story of Ruth? Ruth and her husband take off. They move to Moab. Remember who Moab is? Son of Lot, wicked people. Their sons marry Moabitesses. And, no, I'm sorry, Naomi. It's Naomi. And everybody dies. The husband dies, the two sons die. And she said, "Well, I'm going back to the land of Israel." And the two daughter-in-laws, one of them named Ruth, I forget the other name, they said, "Well, we're going to go with you." So they travel back towards the promised land. And finally, one of them said, "Nah, I changed my mind. I'm not going to go." Because Ruth tried to talk him out of it. They said, "Look, okay, I got no promises for y'all." Naomi said that. And finally, Ruth said, "Hey, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people." So there's two right there. Two daughter-in-laws, both had a chance. One turned aside to their own way. Made sense. The other said, "No, your God's going to be my God. Your people will be my people." By faith, by faith. Somebody asked me the other day, "What do I fear? What do I fear? What am I afraid of?" What I'm afraid of is that I don't fulfill the purpose of God for my life and my time. That's the only thing I fear. Testing is non-optional. I don't want to come up short because all I got is this life. This is all I've got. I've only got this life to give and serve the Almighty. Yeah, I've got eternal life. But we only have this life to be tested, to serve the Almighty, to live by faith, to sacrifice, and to suffer. I don't want to leave anything on the table. The Master himself said, "Hey, you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. You lose your life for the kingdom of God, you'll save it for eternity." As imperfect as I am, and believe me, I'm imperfect. Ask anybody that knows me. I made a decision. I'm all in. I'm all in. All the chips are in. I got nothing. I don't want to hold anything back. Hold it back for what? Hold it back for what? Hold it back for what? And at a certain age, you just go, it's going to be all over sooner or later. That's why I encourage people to go to cemeteries. I love, there's my favorite place. In cemeteries the other day. I almost did a podcast on it. All these men die. What's the purpose of your, what was the measure of your life? What was the purpose of your life? Some people have nothing. Some people have nothing up there and they just say, "Well, there's nothing going on." A lot of people say, "Well, this is what I do with my life. I was a corporal in Vietnam." And it was amazing to me how many people had a reference to service in the military. Vietnam, Korea, World War I, World War II, Spanish-American War. That was the one thing they wanted people to know. I engaged in the fight. I was part of the fight. I showed up. And that's all I want, man. I just want to be a corporal in the great struggle. Showed up. That's it for today, folks. It's a little short. Won't be an after show today. But this is Fritz Berggren. BloodandFaith.com.